Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
He's not even going to be in the King of the Ring in a handful of months.
No, because he's a good-handed and big card. He can lose to Marty Jannetty.
Fucking Marty Jannetty.
Put Bob Holly over, you prick.
The boyhood dream has come true.
All of you, stop to me!
You're about to find out how ugly mankind can really be!
Myself and the Click are gonna dance all over your face!
Talk about your Psalms, talk about John 3:16. Austin 3:16 says I just whipped your ass!
Welcome, everyone, to the Gold Holly Classic Raw Review! Bloody hell, it feels like a lifetime since we sat here in the Ica Pro Power DeLorean, back in a time less forgotten, a world less travelled about the World Wrestling Federation. As the Cultaholic lads look ahead to WrestleMania Backlash, we are here with the backlash from the new generation era. Who be we? I be Fake Geordie, radio presenter with that portfolio, Tom Campbell. I'm with the mulligan to my O'Hare, Jack Atkins from Cultaholic.com. Jack Atkins.
Hello, Jack.
Hi, Tom.
Run out of breath.
Oh,
dear.
No, he's lost his lungs again.
This is how I talk now.
Oh, shit.
This is going to be the whole show.
It's been a minute, hasn't it, Tom?
It's been a hot
oh,
minute.
God, don't do that.
It's been a hot minute.
Now, to the untrained ear, the untrained Augen and Eero, it hasn't, because we had an episode that went out last week, week before last. But we recorded that ages ago.
Oh yeah,
because we knew we saw WrestleMania weekend on the horizon. We thought we'll get one in the can.
Yeah,
and then we just kind of we've had our own WrestleMania backlash here. I feel like everybody's just taken holiday.
Yeah, so
we haven't had time to sit down.
Editor / mentalist in chief of Cultaholic.com, Aidan Gibbons, worked all of WrestleMania weekend, so he took a week off, and I was like, yeah, of course. So I was acting editor-in-chief in a week when nothing happened, apart from the Principality Stadium show was announced. So I just didn't have time, did I?
That feels like ages ago now, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Gosh, time is wild. So, but it's fine, because we're back now.
Yeah.
What's been happening in your world?
Not much. Just been watching a lot of football.
Yeah.
Buying cheap Easter chocolate.
Good result for you in the football on the day. Like this is, we're recording this on the 20th of April.
Yes.
You'll hear this on the Monday afterwards. But Liverpool had a good night at the opera.
Oh, very good.
As the football say.
I was sat there audibly cooing on the couch. I was actually going, woo, eating a Cadbury's orange twirl Easter egg. Sean was trying to book accommodation for our holiday in September. I was like, not now, Sean. Thiago's creating magic on the pitch. So, yeah, it's just been watching football, getting excited by football, getting terrified by football, and trying to sort a holiday. And that's been about it, really.
Amazing. Yeah. Are you, I think you've told us before where you're going, but yeah, listening for the first time.
New York and Toronto in September.
Nice.
The weekend that my holiday time starts is the weekend of the Principality show.
Oh, no.
Which we knew for a while. I was like, oh, for fuck's sake. And it's also the AEW show. So I'm just going to
run away.
Yeah. I'm going to find legal means to download the AEW show and watch it on my flight.
That's a nice shout.
Yeah. But I am going to Madison Square Garden when I'm in New York.
Wow. What are you seeing?
Roxy Music.
Get in! Mate, that's a dream!
Yeah, Sean's a massive Roxy Music fan, and just on Instagram, it was just like, ah, oh, Brian's got the lads back together. They're playing Madison Square Garden. I was like, all right. I was like, oh, when we're there, which never happens. Usually, yeah, you hear something great, it's usually a week before or after you go somewhere. But
stars are properly aligned for that.
Yeah, St. Vincent supporting as well, so that will be, oh, well, should be very good.
Wow.
Yeah. Watch them be shit now. Watch it be Vic and Bob doing Virginia playing.
That'd be even better.
Yeah.
I think it's just being there, isn't it? To say you're watching Roxy Music in Madison Square Garden.
Yeah.
That's class.
Because it's still one of my dreams, even though, like I've mentioned, I'm out of whack with current WWE. If there was a chance for me to go see any WWE show in Madison Square Garden, that's bucket list. More than going to Mania, if business went terrible and they ended up doing Mania in Madison Square Garden, I'd be like, fucking there, I'm there. But if they did just any show and it was a feasible way of me getting there, it's got to be done.
I think, yeah, just to do it. Are you going to the Newcastle show?
I am
at the end of this week at time of air.
I am not, because there's something happening and I can't remember what it is. We're going to see The Room.
Ah,
I'm going to see
show.
The Room in the cinema. Yeah,
that's a fair reason to miss out on the WWE in the Newcastle upon Tyne. But that'll do, I think.
How have you been?
I've been all right. Yeah. Similar to you, we've been booking a holiday for September as well.
Mm.
But we managed to the luck shined upon us a little bit more because we managed to book it for the weekend after the Principality.
Very nice.
So we're going to the Maldives.
Oh.
Which is very exciting.
Yeah.
It's very expensive. I just like, yeah, I just thought, well, I was going to try and save some money this year, but we're just going to put it all into the Maldives fund. It's what it's there. Hey, look, it's me, it's Alex, and it's our cat. So we don't have a lot of dependencies.
I thought you meant Pablo was going with you. I was like, fuck me.
No, sadly not. No. We had to sit down with Pablo and say, look, we're going away in a few months. And he went, oh, where are we going? And I was like, oh, no. Well, I'm pricing up cat hotels just in case a few of my possible options don't pan out. I'm pricing up cat hotels.
Yeah.
And there's one in Yorkshire. I believe it's just outside Halifax, I think. And it looks like a 5-star cat resort. The point where like they have their dinner delivered on like a tray and they'll have like the milk in like a cocktail glass and stuff like that. They have a menu on the wall, a little log fire. Like, each got their own little separate rooms. I'm like, this looks amazing. I think if we take him there, he won't want to come back.
Yeah.
It looks like he'd have a lovely time. But we're looking up options for him. But I thought, look, you know, otherwise, it's just, apart from the cat, it's me and Alex. And it's just like, let's just do it. Let's just go.
Well, that was the thing with us. We were meant to go over in 2020, but obviously
the world caught fire.
Yeah.
The small matter of the world catching fire.
And then we booked the flights and everything, and then the cost of the living crisis happened. And luckily, you know, we recognize our own privilege. We live a very charmed life.
Yes, yeah.
But even then, we're looking at it and going, need to tighten the belt for a few months, I think.
Yeah, we're very much we're trying to cut costs everywhere we can, especially now we booked the bloody Maldives just as the cost of living crisis was taking hold. But it's all right, because train fares are half price.
Yep.
Great. Can't afford to go anywhere, but at least the transport to get nowhere is cheaper than it ever was.
Yeah.
That's good. England. But look, we are, and that's why I'm taking any shifts anywhere that anyone throws at me. Happy to take them.
We'll be swimming in Viennetta soon.
I can't wait to the day where I'm swimming in Viennetta. This week, when you're hearing this Monday you're hearing this, I'm probably a husk of a man, because on that proviso of I'm just taking all shifts, I said yes to covering overnights on Radio Newcastle this week that we're recording.
Oh, God.
So when I finish here, I'm going to go home, have a few hours sleep, and then I'll do 10 p.m. till 1 a.m. tonight. Like, come home, have a few hours sleep.
You're a lunatic.
I am a lunatic. But it's nice to be a lunatic. Hit me with your rhythm stick. Did it last night and it was fine. I believe it or not, I've done one already and I'm fine.
Mm.
I feel like by Friday, I might have cried at least once over something really inconsequential.
Yeah.
Alex says that's normally when we know. Like, like when something will happen, like you'll put something in the wash and you'd have left it in there and it had gone
just a bit manky.
Yeah, manky. And it'll upset you. Like that's when you're tired.
Yes.
Because my brain will go, well, I've just ruined a whole batch of washing. I'm clearly an awful adult. And I might as well just go because I'll be honest with you, Alex, you're wasting your time with me. You need somebody who can look like, and that's it. And I'm gone. I'm spiraling. So I'm looking forward to that on Friday. That'll be fine. And then I'll be a husk on Monday. It'll be great. Otherwise, we are good. We've got very, you know, little to complain about.
Yeah.
You know, with the world, the state that it is, blessed, as you say, privileged life.
Yeah.
Very little to complain about, really. You know, very happy. I mean, 2K22 is still very good.
Yeah.
Been playing a lot of that.
Yeah.
I'm very happy to be playing a lot of that because it's a really, it's just good game. They did it. 2K did it.
I haven't played not one since 2010.
Oh wow!
The last SmackDown versus Raw.
Oh, there's been peaks and troughs since then.
Yeah, I've kind of like
real troughs.
I've kind of like, you know, touched in on them, but I'm one of those. I mean, look at if you're watching Patreon, look at me and guess what my favorite games are. Of course, they're the N64 games. Like, I'm one of those assholes. So I'm always one for the pick up and play. I don't like the fact that it's like, oh, you play it like a real WWE thing and the stamina, you've got to get the crowd inside. It's like, no, I want to be Hornswoggle and I want to Liger Bomb the Great Khali. It's like, I don't care. That's what I want to do. I don't want to be like, oh, test of strength. No, I want to do Jim Ross doing 450s off ladders. That's what
you
I
see,
want.
This is it. You'll like the new ones then because there's a weight detection toggle. Oh, so if you want to, you can, there's a weight detection and there's a gameplay mode toggle where you can have arcade or simulation.
Yeah.
So you can determine, like, it's like I'm advertising it. I kind of am. You can determine, like, how you play it. Like, if you do want to just be like, if you do want to go, well, I want to play a cruiserweight, but I can't lift the heavyweights.
Yeah.
I want that challenge. Great. If you do want to be Hornswoggle and Last Ride the Great Khali, then you can.
Yeah.
So you've got the option.
That's what I want. I just basically want PWG matches starring the classic WWF roster. That's what I want. I just want Spotfests.
It's PWG mode. Activate it. We're going to activate 1996 mode now. It feels weird saying that.
Oh, it's
we're in.
Oh, it's this episode as well. Again, if you're new here for some reason,
sorry.
Yeah. But if you're old hat, every week we're saying, oh, God, it's like we're taking a step out the new generation towards the Attitude, and this is the first proper step.
Yeah, this is the year now. We're out of the new generation era is still a thing and it will be around for a while, but there are some real marked differences in the presentation
definitely
in this year compared to the year that we have just trudged through.
Yeah.
for the greatest extent we have trudged through it, but we are on the 8th of January 1996. We're going to have Jackkins give us a little bit of an update from the Wrestling Observer newsletter and other assorted items for this particular week in the bloody wrestling in just a moment. Nothing changing in the charts compared to the last episode we did. Number one of the movies in the UK is 7 still. What in the box? It's ahead. Statute of Limitations. It's you're fine now. Number one movie in the US is 12 Monkeys. This is the Terry Gilliam one that did very well on its opening weekend. Mm-hmm. Michael Jackson's Earth Song still hanging in there. Ha, 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 ha. Mariah Carey, One Sweet Day, still number one in the US. It's going to be there till like February, March time. Yeah. She just hangs in there, does Carey. No wonder she's made all that FU money. That and a Christmas song and a few crisp adverts and she'll never have to work again.
Yeah.
Only other bit of interesting news from this particular week, because it's kind of the first week of 96 and not a lot is really happening in the world. There is some major weather-based stuff, which we will touch on in this episode. But a bit of tech news. January the 3rd, the Motorola StarTAC goes on sale, which is the world's first clamshell phone.
Okay.
The clamshell is here. Whoa. Did you have a clamshell phone?
I don't think I did. The first phone I had was 99, 2000. When I started secondary school, my parents got me some old Motorola brick, basically to say, we need to keep tabs on you, you little shitbag. But no, I was never a clamshell or a flippy guy. I had one of the classic Nokia 3330s, one of the ones.
Oh, Oh, yes.
Yeah.
With Snake on it.
Yeah.
And Mahjong.
And pinball. I used to play the pinball. Right?
There was a pinball game on there, wasn't there? Yeah. They made a little bit of resurgence, the Nokias.
Because they're just fucking indestructible, aren't they?
They're indestructible. And also, we've reached this point as a society where we've had access to all the information ever, all times. Mm. And now we're going, actually, no, we don't want all of this now. It's a poison chalice.
Yeah.
So many people are stepping away from that. Before we came down here today, we got into a big chat upstairs about, because today, when we're recording this, the Netflix shares have plummeted.
Oh, God, yeah.
And that's because people are unsubscribing at an alarming rate.
Yeah.
Because, again, like, people don't want access to everything.
I'm one who unsubscribed because my watch list was growing and growing and growing and growing. I just wasn't using the service, and they're like, "Oh, we'll put the price up." And it's like, if I used it, I'd pay for it, but I don't.
Yeah, and there's a lot of, and then all of a sudden Netflix has gone, "Well, we've just spent these 10 bags of money on all these shows, and now nobody's watching them."
Yeah.
Oh, dear. This is a problem.
Because the last thing I was watching on Netflix was Seinfeld. I was just like, I've seen all of Seinfeld before. I'm just watching it because it's still good. But I was like, if I want to watch it, I can watch it anywhere else. I don't have to pay 24 quid a month for the privilege or whatever. No, it's not that much, but still.
Yeah, it's It's one of them where, as well, I think when you come back to, like, because talking about the old series, talking about stuff like Seinfeld,
yeah,
they're punching out all these new shows, and the watch lists, all our watch lists are growing and growing and growing. But then, like, what did me and Alex start watching 2 weeks ago? Downton Abbey. We've never seen it before. And it's one of, do you know what? God damn, she has this way, does Alex, of picking these TV shows where I go, oh, just whatever, you can watch that. I'll probably end up doing something else. And then she put Downton Abbey on. And it's just because she went, oh, come on, watch an episode of this. And I kind of went, okay, fine. Cut to me 2 weeks later. Oh, Mr. Bates is going to kill him when he finds out what he did with the scullery maid. Oh, my God, it's all going to... I can't believe Carson did that. I'm in. I'm completely into Downton Abbey. To the point where I went, yesterday, we've got to plough through like the next season in a bit because the new movie's out at the end of this month.
Oh, for fuck's sake. I didn't know they were still churning them out.
There's Downton Abbey, the new era.
Okay.
Which I think is sort of set in 2032. I hope it is. I hope it is.
Hugh Bonneville's just a head in a jar.
I want that to be the thing. But that's it. But then, because there's so much to watch in the back end of things.
Yeah.
That they're making all this stuff, and I'm too busy watching the old stuff. I said upstairs, they need like 6 months where they don't make anything.
Yes.
And Aidan went, they did. It was called the pandemic. I was like, oh, yeah, we did, didn't we?
Yeah, that's true.
We need another one. Not another pandemic, but another 6 months of not making anything.
But what did we do during the pandemic? It was catching up. Sean was like, I've never seen the Marvel films. I was like, oh, fuck it. There's nothing to do.
Yeah, there's nothing else to do. It's, yeah. And we just smashed through a lot of stuff, but now the world is getting back to normal. So yeah, People's viewing habits are going back to normal.
Yeah.
And I'm not watching as much anymore. But thankfully, we're still watching the WWE Network, where we are watching Monday Night Raw from January the 6th, 1996. What was going on in that particular week in the year of our Lord, 1996? Jack Atkins.
Well, let me tell you, Tom Campbell. Not my words, the words of... fucking Dave Meltzer. I went to do a Tom Campbell then and completely farted it. So in the Wrestling Observer newsletter, dated January 15, 1996, there's two big chunky bits which we'll get to during Raw, because it's chunky bits that are to do with Raw. But it's just lots of little bits and bobs. There's some ridiculous stuff because it's the stuff that makes me laugh. There's some stuff on the state of the business in general because it is a real weird period, 96. Because we don't, like, even in this newsletter, with hindsight, we know it's about to go through the fucking roof.
Mm.
But at this point, they're still saying, oh, shit, it's looking a bit ropey.
Mm.
Not realizing that the NWO is going to happen in T-minus 5 months or whatever it is, and it's going to bring in the biggest boom period of all time.
It's weird, isn't it, how when you look at it now and you go, you have no idea what you're on the... And there's another example later on where you go, you have no idea what you're on the precipice of.
Yeah. So there's a few of those bits in here that I saw, and, you know, with hindsight, I'm like, oh, that's interesting. I'll mention that. Like, for example, WCW finally turned a profit after losing somewhere in the region of 30 million.
Yay! Billionaire Ted, you've done it!
I hope it works out for him.
Plucky young mom and pop businessman, Billionaire Ted.
A little bit of New Japan news. So, again, it shows that, you know, the difference in how much the industry's changed since then, because in January 96, Kaiji Muto and Nobuhiko Takada officially went into the record books this week as the biggest drawing feud in pro wrestling history after selling out the Tokyo Dome for the, you know, second consecutive sellout. Mm. This was the New Japan versus the UWFI?
Yeah.
Should have made a note of it, really, shouldn't I? But, you know, the whole the invasion angle, which, you know, Eric Bischoff took one note of and went, oh, that's quite interesting.
The difference is they did it very, very well.
Yeah, they did do it very
and
well.
They had a logical beginning, middle, and end.
Yeah.
I defy anybody who does an invasion angle to have a fucking beginning, middle, and end.
So it's just Dave saying, like, a turnaway crowd of 64,000 fans.
Nice.
Sold out 2 weeks in advance, between $5 to $6 million. Estimated TV audience in Japan of 14 million. So it's just like,
this is great numbers.
But it just shows that, you know, from a Western percentage, it's like, oh, the industry was shit. It's like, nice, you're in Japan.
Mm.
Like, I was looking later on as like FMW having sold out shows of like 2,000 people and all the weird little like wrestling and romance are having sold out shows. You got All Japan putting on all-time classics. New Japan are breaking records left, right, and center. And then over in America, it's just shit in the bed. So.
But, it's a weird, yeah, it's a very different time.
But, I mean, it's talking of America, this just shows how stacked the industry was at the time. So we've known this for a while, but on January 5th, Public Enemy had their final ECW match.
Yes.
On the show in question, Paul Heyman put together an angle to distract fans from dwelling on the fact that Public Enemy were leaving, Cactus Jack was about to leave. So this is the time when Beulah McGillicuddy announced she was pregnant with Tommy Dreamer's baby. The famous, you know,
it's Tommy's.
But as fucking Dave's written here, this certainly takes something to the extreme, being the Dreamer pile drover for about the 35th time most recently at the New York show. But so Public Enemy, Cactus Jack and Steve Austin have just left ECW. ECW have replaced them with Shane Douglas and Rob Van Dam. And Chris Jericho and Juventud Guerrero expected in February.
Whoa.
It's just the amount of talent. Like,
that's some good swappage, that is.
Yeah.
Some good swappage.
Rob Van Dam.
Yeah. Small matter. I'm glad you said that because I was going to mention this ECW show in question because just, you know, the small matter of the debut for ECW of Rob Van Dam.
Yeah.
Had a run of Robbie V. Hadn't really sort of captured the imagination yet. But it is in this promotion. It is during this year and next where he will really, and I use this phrase a lot, he'll really find his voice.
Yeah.
And we will we'll get a phenomenal performer.
Rob Van Dam is worth more money here and more money elsewhere. Oh, fucking yeah.
Leaning into that whole, it's when someone comes along and leans into the whole, yeah, I'm going to go to the big leagues. This place is crap.
Yeah.
But I'll be here for you. Like, it leans into that whole thing and owns it. And it was such a cool gimmick at the time where they were so outwardly spoken because normally, like, people would leave, like, they'd be like, it'd be like you sold out or it'd be, like you say, distractions to prevent people from talking about it. But Rob would lean into the fact that I'm probably going to get called up anytime now. I'm excited. I want somebody in NXT 2.0 to do something like that, where they just walk around with just like this braggadocious head on their shoulders going, I'm probably going to get the call up to Raw or SmackDown anytime soon. I've been trying out some new names. What do you think? Like, they just walk around like they're God's gift and go, any minute now, I'll get the call and I'll be on Raw. It'd be brilliant.
Well, MJF's been doing it in the media, hasn't he? He's saying, oh, well, I'm not signing anything. I'm not signing a contract extension until I've got the bargaining power in my hands. It's like, oh, WWF do great things. What was he saying last week? I love Bruce Pritchard and stuff like that.
Yeah, he's great. He knows what he's doing. And you make some money, young man.
Oh, God.
You make some money.
Yeah, the time in the industry is fleeting. Fucking fill your boots.
Yeah, definitely.
But an interesting tidbit I noticed during Dave Meltzer's usual UFC wankfest, because I thought this was a modern phenomenon that Dave Meltzer just talked about MMA in the Wrestling Observer, but he's been doing this since
I think sometimes when the news is a bit light,
yeah,
he will chat a bit UFC.
Yeah.
I think.
So 95 was a banner year for UFC. It was still controversial, banned left, right, and centre, but they had like Shamrock coming up. They had, I think, Don Fry kind of in the mix. They had Dan Severin just eating people. He started the Gracies.
Literally eating people.
But one thing that Dave said while pontificating about the success of the UFC, he said, unfortunately, the most important point of the success of UFC as it relates to the pro wrestling industry, a lesson taught by what happened in Japan from 1988 to the present when work shoot fighting became a popular sport, is that shoots or worked shoots can be used to make pro wrestling more popular as a spectator sport because things can be taken from the shoots and implemented into the work style that would be believable if integrated in a believable fashion. So obviously, the way 1996 goes, the NWO invasion, is it real? Is it fake? The way that Attitude comes is like, oh, you know, this gimmick sucks. I'm no longer X. I'm this and stuff. He's accidentally said, yeah, if wrestling wants to be good, it needs to become more believable and more of a shoot.
Or, yeah, more authentic and kind of own a little bit more of the fakeness.
Yeah.
See, I know Dave gets a lot of flack these days. But when you look back on some of these, he's on the money for quite a bit. Yeah. I know they say, like, you know, a broken clock is right twice a day. Mm. But, like, he's on the money for, like little nuggets like that where he goes, look, if wrestling needs to grow, it needs to be a bit more authentic. It needs to lean into stuff a little bit
more.
And he was right. Because how soon, when those walls start coming down, with WCW doing, you know, the NWO invasion, you know who I am, you don't know why I'm here. And like that frantic nature of that show, it's still very crap at the moment if you listen to the classic Nitro review. the Nitro review itself is wonderful. Sam have a lovely time. But the actual episodes of Nitro are shit. But once they lean in a little bit more to it and they're a bit more sort of controlled with the chaos, WWF will follow suit and then the Attitude Era will be born and everything will change. And you still see little shades of that now, you know, a little bit more. It's probably not as free as it once was,
no.
But there's still little shades of it now. And
yeah.
This all comes from, I'm not saying Dave said go and be more authentic, but
no.
Dave sort of foresaw that change was going to help bring around a new golden era of wrestling. And it did.
Yeah.
It absolutely did.
He was aware of audience tastes and changing fashions and trends and stuff like that. Not changing fashions, but, you know, he'd seen that UFC was rising because people just wanted, we just want hard men just causing carnage. We don't want, you know, clowns and Mantar and stuff like that. I mean, I want Mantar. But
we all want Mantar, secretly.
But, yeah. Another weird story that I've never heard before.
Oh.
So Dave said, it was reported a few weeks back on the Jim Shimon 900 line, the Shawn Michaels inherited $2.5 million from a wrestling fan that he didn't know had just passed away. This is a true story.
Ooh.
It happened a few months back and word just got out. Michaels had attempted to keep it quiet. And at the press conference that we'll see bits later, he was asked about this and got really mad and said no comments and said not to ever bring the subject up again.
Oh.
Michaels still wants to continue wrestling, although he's probably moving into a bigger house.
Let's just say it moved me
to a bigger house!
That is a weird one because I can imagine Michaels probably does feel a bit awkward about it.
Yeah.
There was a thing in the news the other day, weirdly echoes this, which actually picked up some national press over here, which was to do with Liv Morgan.
Oh, no.
So Liv Morgan, there was somebody online, Liv Morgan put this on Twitter and said that a fan of hers had been hoodwinked by somebody online pretending to be her.
Right, yeah.
And had donated hundreds of thousands of dollars to what he believed was Liv Morgan, even to the point where she says they sold their house.
God.
To send Liv Morgan money. And obviously it was a scam. It was a sham.
Yeah.
And she put out a thing saying, look, please don't just give strangers money.
Yeah.
Like, and that's the kind of point where we have to say that. And that's terrifying. The thing is, like, I've had a Liv Morgan fake account DM me before. And it's when you know it's really obvious. I think when you're not blinded by a love or an infatuation or an admiration, it's really obvious.
Yeah.
And they started messaging me and saying, hello, this is my private account. I hope you are well and okay. And I was like, Liv, why are you talking like that? It's me. I know this is your private account. Are you okay? Yes, I am, my friend. How are you? And I went, oh, by the way, I've got that tenner I owe you. Do you want me to send it across? Yes, please. When can you send it? When can you send the £10 that you owe me? Yeah. Please, thank you. And just, and I left it, and there were messages of saying, when are you sending me the money? When are you just block them.
Yeah, I once got a fake DM. Well, a DM from...
I didn't send the money, by the way. I blocked the account, but it was interesting to see how quickly that turned.
You only sent a fiver. So.
I said, yeah, the joke's on her. I sent a fiver.
Yeah. I got a DM from a fake Rhea Ripley. It's like, oh, they know that. It's like, oh, Jack Atkins likes Australian goths. And it's like, yeah, but I know it's not Rhea Ripley. So blocked.
Yeah, so it's funny. So I can imagine Sean feeling quite, not frustrated, but like feeling weird about it.
Yeah.
For a stranger to donate all that money to him.
Yeah, and probably doesn't want to get resentment from the boys.
Yeah. What would you do if someone said, Jackins, here's $2.5 million?
I'd fucking disappear. I'd go off the grid.
Just wouldn't turn up to work one day. I was like, oh, that's interesting.
Or I'd turn up and be like, right, it's going to be a lot of changes around here.
This is my company now. I think I'd have to donate it somewhere. I know that sounds like a real sort of like pious thing to say, but I don't know whether I couldn't accept it. I just could not accept that. If it was a tenner.
Yeah, I used to.
Thanks, I'll have a nice coffee. That money, I couldn't. I absolutely couldn't.
I used to have a hard time accepting like a fiver off my nan. I was like, nan. Don't, Nan. She was like, you're six. I was like, Nan, let's be rational about this.
Exactly.
Talk about fivers. You were saying...
Oh, yes.
You weren't saying at all. WWF house shows the past week...
I love the passion and the commitment to the segue that didn't exist. That was like when Wile E. Coyote just keeps running off a cliff, but hasn't noticed he's off the cliff.
And stops.
And then just suddenly stops when he realises. That's what happened there. You could have just carried on running.
Well, I remembered you saying about weather problems. And I thought, yes, this is related. And then I started reading my notes. And I was like, I don't think these are quite related. It's been a few weeks. We haven't seen each other.
Well, we have. Like, you sit at the table opposite.
Yeah, but...
Kayfabe. But I normally see the back of your head more than anything else.
Yeah, and then I'll just turn around and say, isn't so-and-so a twat?
Somebody on the shit list in our office.
I usually just... burst through the door saying, and another thing!
Another thing! Right, okay. Gravy King! It's my idea!
We're going to go chicken gravy, beef gravy, or if you're weird, we've got vegetarian Gravy King. It's just water.
I bumped into John Eiley the other day.
Hello, John.
John Eiley. Photoshop John Eiley. We still badger him every so often for Photoshops and stuff like that. He put a thing on Twitter... where he's ace on Twitter and Instagram. He's lovely. He sometimes tells some jokes. He sometimes just take pictures of what he's doing. He's great. And he took a picture of he said, I'm just bank holiday weekend. I'm having a little quiet pint and some food on my own. Because he's like me. He's just like, sometimes he likes his own company. But I spotted where his pint was and I went, I know where that is. And I'm currently, like I was sat in a coffee shop probably 10 minutes away.
Yeah.
And I went, I know where he is. And I swear to God, I necked back my coffee. I went, I'm going to go and bother him. And I just marched my way there. I just put my hand on his back and I just went, what are you having? And we had a cheeky pint together. And then I ran up because I had to go and work elsewhere. Then I had to run away. But when we were chatting, he's a big fan of the bulldog impression.
Thank you, John.
He says he normally has to stop and recover when we go on to big bulldog tangents. So
thank you, John. John. Appreciate it, John.
Oh, lovely.
Come to John King. Former Tranmere Rovers owner Johnny King.
John King, would you buy Tranmere or lend us a fiver? Send it straight into me OnlyFans.
So, talking to Kings, no segue again. WWF house shows this past weekend were strong. I know this about
strong like a king.
Strong like King Strongman.
King Strongman.
So strong,
Strongman.
Especially considering the horrible weather in the northeast. So there was
a weather link, you'd have been fine.
Yeah. So most shows were headlined by Bret and Undertaker going over Owen and Yokozuna. The semi-finals, as Dave's put, so the semi-main event, was scheduled as Razor Ramon and Diesel versus Sid and the Kid. However, Kidd missed the entire weekend, brackets don't know why, so Jeff Jarrett was flown in as a replacement. Then Sid was pulled from the semi in New Haven, and Triple H was put in his place and kept the spot all weekend. Instead, Sid worked New Haven against Bob Holly, did the job to Bob Holly, and didn't work the rest of the show.
Sid lost to Bob Holly?
Apparently.
Who's he pissed off?
I don't know.
Unless that's the main in New Haven. Oh my God, could you imagine if that was the main in New Haven?
God, imagine it.
I wonder, will that be on Cage Match? But I've got to know.
But yeah, he says Sid worked New Haven against Bob Holly, did the job and didn't work the rest of the shows. So you're looking what?
I've got to know.
Yeah, January 96.
I tried to type in Sid, but my phone translated it as did. I don't know why that's funny.
Did Vicious. Did Vicious what? No.
Psycho did.
Psycho did what? Aye.
Psycho said what? Aye. It's a good joke, that.
No, love it.
No, Sid Vicious. Give me Sid Vicious, your thing. We are going to... Hang on. Whilst I'm checking this, is that your last bit of...
I'll
tell you what.
Oh.
I think we will be...
Oh.
If I just type in... Cage. By the way, whoever puts together Cage Match, thank you.
Oh, God.
I'd love to chat to you.
Oh, God.
And your team, because you have no idea. I hope... Well, maybe you do know. Like, the genuine service that you provide for content creators of the wrestling variety all around the world. Thank you.
Oh, God. It makes our lives so much easier.
So if you are, or you know who they are, like, reach out. We would like to say thank you properly.
Yeah.
Because genuinely what you do is phenomenal. Okay. Sid beats Bob Holly. Here we go. Bob Holly beats Sid. WWF House Show, New Haven Coliseum. See, thank you, Cage Match. God bless you. There wasn't even the main.
Oh, God.
So this was the card for New Haven. Fatu beats Bob Backlund. Christ, this was...
Bob?
All the legends got screwed tonight. The Body Donners beat Barry Horowitz and Marty Jannetty.
Ooh.
Pat on the back and snuff up the... as they are better known. Bob beat Sid. Henry Godwin beat Rad Radford.
Christ.
Smoking Guns beat Jerry Lawler and Isaac Yankem.
Oof.
Goldust beat Savio Vega. Battle of the Legends! Diesel and Razor teamed up to face Helmsley and Jarrett, as you said.
Yeah.
Ahmed Johnson beat Bulldog by DQ.
Oh, fucking hell.
And then that main event, Bret Hart and Undertaker, Owen Hart and Yokozuna. Mm. That's not a bad show, actually, in Connecticut. It's all right. Did Helmsley get cheered in Connecticut?
Hometown boy. We got some Goldust news. They are making strong references on TV that the Goldust gimmick may all be an act to make take Razor Ramon off his guard and get the title. So they may change the character up, although they played up big that he's a movie buff. There have been lots of complaints from fans at the arenas because he's fondling himself at the shows.
Oh, I should laugh because I know that many have been banned from UK shows for similar... God.
Like I was saying, one step towards the attitude here, you've got ambiguous androgynous Goldust basically rubbing his nipples and wanking in shows. Allegedly, he's not been wanking, it's not been saying, he's probably just been rubbing
been rubbing his nipples. I mean, I get it from a 1996 audience that is, you know, used to a certain type of the wrestling.
Yeah.
Suddenly comes to a show and they go, Daddy, who's that?
Why is the gold man biting at people?
That's that's Dusty Rhodes' son.
So, a couple more little tidbits. It's expected Al Snow will debut with a new gimmick at the next tapings. R.I.P. Avatar, we hardly knew
you. Avatar's already gone. Will this be Shinobi?
Oh, God. Yeah, probably. It won't be Leaf yet, will it?
Might be Leaf.
Ooh.
Leaf Cassidy, I know, is on the card at Survivor Series 96. I know that's in November.
But still, it's got to come from somewhere.
It's got to come from somewhere. So this could potentially be Leaf Cassidy.
This made me laugh because it shows the state of the wrestling industry in America and also WWF and things. WCW is selling advertising for this quarter for Mondays, promising advertisers a 2.5 rating, the average to 2.4. Mm-hmm. WWF is promising advertisers a 2.7. You also have an average to 2.4. It's just like WF is just like, yep, we'll give you this. Like,
we'll give you more, you bastards.
But this final bit, I told it to Aiden and we were pissing ourselves. So on January 1st in Germany, Nitro started airing. And the WCW announcing team includes a 16-year-old boy who doesn't know anything about wrestling nor care about it.
What?
He's the son of producer Dieter Krapp. On the first show, he spent half the time talking about basketball. Two of the other announcers, Peter William and Nick Helt, are doing a gimmick feud during the show, with William doing a gimmick pretending to be drunk on the air. So you got one fella pretending to be drunk, a 16-year-old boy who likes basketball, and then just some other fella kicking off.
So this is Nitro being dubbed over in Germany, and this is the announce team they've got to listen to?
A 16-year-old boy? Son of Dieter Krapp.
Oh my God.
It's amazing.
We're going to have some fun with that.
That's amazing.
Oh my God. Oh, I wonder if the German commentary won't be on the network, will it, for Nitro?
But isn't that the most WCW thing you've ever
heard? It is. They've that sounds like they've just gone, okay, we'll leave somebody to sort that. Yeah. We won't worry about that. I will, you know, Mr. Krapp, can you please sort out the commentary? Yep, fine, I've got it all under control. I know wrestling me.
Come on, son. Get away from that Chicago Bulls match.
Get the ball to Tucker, basically, of commentary. That's amazing. Mm. We'll do some digging on them. I want to find out what became of the son of crap.
Yeah.
I want to find out. That's amazing.
Oh, what happened to crap? Whatever happened to crap? What became of the crap?
We used to crap.
Oh, what happened to crap? Whatever happened to crap?
What happened to the crap?
We used to crap.
If you know the TV show, 10 points. Give yourself 10 points on your Cold Hearted Classic Raw Review scratch card.
Yeah.
Is that all the news for this week?
That's all.
A lot of news going down there.
Let's get to it.
Let's get to the meat and all the potatoes. It is January of the... Is it January the 8th?
8th.
January the 8th. Monday Night Raw is on tonight on WWF. The Shawn Michaels press conference. Shawn Michaels teasing that it's the end of his wrestling career.
Ooh.
We will watch the press conference tonight and find out from the horse's mouth himself. Sorry, Shawn, you're not a horse. Billionaire Ted is planning another WWF ripoff, apparently.
Oh.
We'll see what he's up to later. We're going to get a replay from In Your House. It is Bulldog's title shot against Bret Hart, the one with all the blood. I thought it was squirty cream. Thought it was red sauce for the top of an ice cream, you bastards.
But that's red sauce, gig.
I've got it. It's just one big pipe. You stand under it and we come here.
You got to be quick, though, because Ice Cream King's actually two roads away.
And if it's really hot, your ice cream's fucked before you get it back.
Don't forget to go to Corn King first, otherwise you're just a handful of ice cream. Wasps will come after you.
Wasp King. We shouldn't have put Wasp King between Ice Cream King and Raspberry Sauce King. We've made a mistake there.
Just Dynamite Kid and Wasp King just going, ah, fuck off.
Bulldog walking down the street in America and sees a Dairy Queen. Queen!
Who the fuck are you?
How have you know I am the All Foods King? Dairy Queen? More like Shit Queen, am I right?
Oh.
Who are you bastard queen? Long live the kings. Anyway, Bulldog's title shot is on the show tonight. And Scheme Gene is a guest on Slam Jam.
Hooray.
Fuck me, we are seemingly wather thin. But as the opening match is starting, Vince McMahon says, oh, also tonight, we're going to find out who the $1 million champion is.
Ooh.
Last week, it was revealed that Ted DiBiase has handpicked somebody to take the $1 million championship into 1996. We will find out who that is very, very soon.
Before we get into the meat of it, unless you've got this written here.
I don't think I have.
Did you notice the new intro?
No.
They've gone back to the classic.
I didn't notice it, but I'm glad they did.
But the footage, right, it starts, and the first thing you see is Roddy Piper slapping Goldust. Which won't happen for a month. So I think this has been touched up on WWE Network, because I did some digging, and originally it shows Jeff Jarrett twatting Ahmed Johnson with the disc. But it's new footage of all the stars like Ahmed and Sid throwing the kid and stuff. But yeah, just this version started with Roddy Piper slapping Goldust. And I was like, hang on.
Yeah.
Because this is a taped show as well. This is from December 18th. So it's...
Oh, Yeah. But Roddy Piper's not turned up yet.
Yeah, he doesn't turn up until the end of January. Spoiler.
Spoiler. I wonder whether, as you say, whether they've just touched it up in post and just put a different intro on the start.
Yeah, but they've gone back to the classic raw music with the sirens and everything.
Interesting to see whether it changes next week.
Yes.
Want to keep an eye on. Jeff Jarrett is in the opening match, though, as he's facing Hakushi. There was a line in this as he was coming out to the ring where Jerry Lawler said that he plans to shut down Hakushi like a New York airport. So this was in reference to the Blizzard of 96.
The Blizzard.
The Blizzard of 96. So the northeast of America was rocked with a wide snowstorm, like a massive, the third biggest snowstorm in the history of the northeast of America.
Right.
And it shut down all major transport routes. It just caught everybody, metaphorically, with their trousers down. It cut all off more major transport routes. Supermarkets were laid bare. It was amazing that they were able to keep going the way they did. The fact that we only had like two people missing from the shows. And obviously some of the bits of this are taped and stuff like that, so there's less pressure in that case. But the fact they're able to still push through regardless. We'll see whether it affects upcoming house shows in the next week, because I believe like we have this blizzard that hits, and then the following week there is a storm that comes down from Alberta that has a similarly nasty effect. So like there's a, you get like a double whammy of storms that hit America. So any references to storms and stuff this week come from there, because there's a couple throughout the show. Jeff Jarrett, all in control at the start of this match. Even through the break, Double J is in charge. He's using the lope for leverage on an abdominal stretch. Not it, boy. Jerry Lawler starts using football parlance. Vince shuts him down and says, "That was last week. We won't speak about the Raw Bowl again." I liked the Raw Bowl.
I did, in hindsight. I thought it was going to be shit. And I watched it, I was like, that's
good. History's kind of taken a dump on it.
Yeah.
But I thought it was good.
It was good.
Just a nice way to dress up a Fatal 4-Way match. Why not? Hakushi rallies briefly with a Muta Splash and a diving double axe handle. Now, there is a proper name for it. I see it in video games all the time. I don't think I've ever seen it in the wild. So it was nice to see. It was kind of like a spinning forearm.
Oh, I know the one you mean.
Where he kind of clasps his hand together a la an axe handle.
Yeah.
And swings his entire body round. But the impact is with the axe handle.
Patreon.com.
Well, yes. You can watch us reenact these. It's worth every penny. He went for a springboard splash. He's still doing it. That's great. Look at that.
I'm Hakushi.
I can confirm nor deny that Jack Atkins is doing motion capture for the next 2K22 patch. You're in the game somewhere.
Yeah.
You're hidden in the programming, hidden in the code. He went for a springboard splash, did Hakushi, but Jarrett got his knees up Mother Brown. Figure 4 seconds later, Hakushi taps. This felt like a drumming for Hakushi. I thought this might have been his last night in the company, but he's sticking around till at least March.
I thought
Were you about to say JJ Gibbon?
JJ Gibbon.
John? It's not offensive, is it?
No,
he's still with us, and it's a funny little play on words.
Yeah.
Tag the Undertaker in it, though.
Yeah.
Cheers, John.
I'm fucking, You can tell I've had a few weeks off, can't you? But no.
I quite like JJ Gibbon.
JJ Gibbon. the chosen one, JJ Gibbon. I thought he gave him a lot of offense. Like, he got, like, the tumbling splash in the corner.
Oh, right near the end.
Yeah.
Like, I felt like it was all Jarrett. And then, like, maybe three big moves from Hakushi.
Yeah.
And then, boom, knees up, figure four.
Hakushi's a weird one because he's a good wrestler, but he sticks out like a sore thumb in WWF.
Yeah.
Like, he's a solid wrestler, but he's very crisp, but he's just stoic. And it's like, nah, it's the big neon WWF. You need a bit more, so it just...
But I almost think, like, in terms of him not sticking out, that's kind of why he sticks out.
But then
I don't think they've been wildly inconsistent with him. He went from kind of this... like this heralded almost assassin from the Far East who went after Bret Hart. And then they sort of made him sort of comedy character with Barry Horowitz. And now he's on this sort of half-hearted, half-witted babyface run. I feel like if you committed just to making him just like this stoic monster, I think there's money.
Yeah.
I think, but it would go so against a lot of what the company is about to do that.
Yeah.
It's not what they look for in a top star with Hakushi. No, not at all. Which is a shame, because I think the idea of him, like, going on an undefeated streak and then squaring up to Bret Hart and being like a genuine threat to Bret Hart.
And being like, I'm going to rip off your head.
Yeah, doing all that, but a year later.
Yeah.
It'd be brilliant. But hey, it is what it is.
What did you think of the match?
I thought it was fine for what it was. I was surprised at the lack of offense of Haakushi, but now I talk about it, I'm probably not. They seem very keen to push Jeff Jarrett. Now he's back in the fold.
Yeah.
Obviously, he was away for a bit. He fell out with the company. He's very much back. And there's plans afoot for him. He'll be a part of a few things going forward, but not for too long.
No.
We'll keep an eye on it.
It's a weird couple of years, isn't it?
It's a strange old time for Double G.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince, they exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedy-ad-free. That's amazon.com/comedy-ad-free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Jim Ross is hosting the Slam Jam, which is now sort of like the action, the name for the action center.
Yeah.
Slam Jam was Slam Jam was a song.
Yeah.
Everybody do the left slam. It's a Slam Jam. Oh. Which is like a slightly retooled version of the WrestleMania song, which they released after it. But Slam Jam was, that's what that was. But this is kind of their new name for the action zone.
Yeah.
Jim Ross is hosting it because Doc Hendricks, quote, got beat by Old Man Winter.
Oof.
Which either means like he's stuck in the blizzard or just some blokes kick shit out of him and he can't be there.
And with Doc, you don't know which kind of blizzard or what kind of snow.
Yeah. Well, we saw him covered in powder. That's why JR is here anyway. It's nice to see Jim Ross, a young, sprightly Jim Ross. I put he's probably 18 at this point. Jim Ross is one of those guys that just always looked old.
Yeah.
God love him. He hypes up the Rumble, runs out a few entrants.
Do you want to give us the music and I'll do Vince?
I didn't write all the names down.
Oh, I've got them.
Oh,
I've got
them. Okay, I'll do the music. Da,
da, da, the 1996 Royal Rumble!
Da, 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 da.
USWA's Doug Gilbert.
Clang, clang, clang,
Shake the clang, Snake Roberts.
Clang, clang, clang,
Jerry,
clang,
the King Lawler.
Clang,
Make a Difference Batu.
Dan, Dan.
Isaac Yankum DDS.
Dan,
Henry Godwin.
Clang, clang,
Marty Jannetty.
Clang, clang,
Karma.
Clang, clang, clang,
Body on a Skip.
Clang, clang.
And future Triple Crown champion Takao Emori.
Nice, dude. Clang, 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 clang. Clang, 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 clang. Two names stick out there.
Yep.
Doug Gilbert.
Yeah.
From the USWA.
Yeah.
He won a Rumble a few days before this on a USWA show to earn the right to be in this Rumble.
Yeah.
He was a reigning USWA tag team champion at this point as well with Tommy Rich.
Hmm.
They won't reference that.
No.
Takao Emori.
It's
what a sign in this is. Yeah,
the fucking Forbidden Door back in 1996.
Proper Forbidden Door. And sadly, there's no picture. Just Jim Ross saying his name and then kind of rushing on. I feel like you could put a little bit of emphasis on some of these names.
I think he mentions All Japan by name as well, doesn't he? I think he says All Japan Pro Wrestling Takao Emori.
Yes, he does.
Yeah.
He was about to wrap up year one of what would become a 5-year reign as all Asian tag team champion with Jun Akiyama.
Fuck me.
Yeah.
It's a good time for wrestling, isn't
People
it?
Complain about the Roman Reigns title reign, but here we go. This is also going to be his first wrestling appearance in America.
Shit.
What a way to make your Western debut in the Rumble.
So I've got some bits from The Observer about the Rumble, but he doesn't go into details about how the deals come across. Because Dave said, the latest regarding additions about the Royal Rumble, Vader was planning on coming in almost full-time while still making occasional Japan commitments. But as of press time, he'd only agreed to do the Rumble and nothing else. They said, there's a good chance he'll be in as a regular, but it's not a done deal. He's also in serious discussion with New Japan about working there more regularly in 96. Outsiders announced this week with Jake Roberts, who's right now only in for one shot because the Snake said he's got religious bookings he wants to keep but may work occasional shots in the future. But, you know, 96, Jake Roberts, he's quite historic.
Yes. He's
just put, Doug Gilbert, this is a one shot. Takao Mori and Karma, a one shot. And apparently, Cactus Jack promo starts airing over the weekend, but he won't be in the Rumble. Dan Severin's turned down the WWF. And apparently, Sabu wanted to come in for the Rumble. Apparently Sabu, because this is kind of the weird time. It's part of the love-hate relationship between Sabu and Paul Heyman, isn't it?
Mm.
But apparently he spoke to NWA's Dennis Coraluzzo to contact WWF about getting him in. They even worked out a finish to protect him where he'd throw someone over the top, then do a plancha over the top, you know, through a table while eliminating himself with an announcer saying, oh, he hasn't realized it, blah, blah, blah. Paul Heyman put the kibosh on it and said, nope, I want to do an ECW pay-per-view. I don't want Sabu. I don't want anyone else like looking weak on TV because he wants Sabu versus Taz. And, right, Sabu still wanted to do the Rumble, but Paul Heyman promised him a bigger payoff and a better spot on the show and twisted it for the ECW crowd, saying, oh, you see Sabu, WF want him? Ah, fuck off. Easy CW.
Isn't that funny? Things that, like, you can twist that and make it sound pretty special.
Yeah.
I get the frustration.
Yeah.
And I get why Paul would do that. I guess, you know, seeing how Sabu was booked in WCW, like, they presented him somewhat strong, but also as a bit of a fucking idiot. Mm. And it'd be difficult to put the trust in WWF, even if you had plans outlined for how he would debut or how he'd turn up in the Rumble.
Yeah.
You know, like lastminute.com, all that could change, and then you're powerless. If you're in the build, if Sabu's there waiting to go and they go, oh, by the way, slight change Japan, you're going out there in 30 seconds, you're going to get chucked out by Jake Roberts. Yeah. Like, and that's what you do about it. And then, so Paul Heyman wanting to protect, like, the guy he's going to head up the company with. I get it. But then I think he'd end up owing Sabu more money than giving him money.
And, I mean, ECW barely legal won't be until April 97
anyway. Yeah, he's got a year to wait on that one. Yeah. But I never knew Sabu wanted to come in for the Rumble.
Yeah, apparently so. Because this is really around the time, I think it was 95, that him and Heyman had fallen out because Heyman was like, oh, come to ECW. He's like, fuck that. New Japan have offered me money.
And they pay me.
So Sabu basically saying, you know what, I'm a cult hero. I'm getting a big buzz around me. I can get money. He's like, fuck it, get me in the Royal Rumble. I'll do it.
That's great, that. Yeah. Dan Severin, an interesting one.
Yeah. He just apparently said, Dan, what you think? And he said, fuck no, I'm making so much money in the UFC. Because the urban legend is, obviously, Severin will come into WF. But the urban legend is that at the Royal Rumble, he said, I'm not losing, I'm fucking hard. I'll just shoot a bat at everyone and win it. And then they were just like, Dan, please don't do that. He's like, oh, God, right then. But apparently, the rumors were he's just like, I'm not going to throw it over. He's like, try and throw me over the top. Try it. Try it. Get your hardest. Try it.
I like how Dan Severn didn't quite get it. And I love him for it. I love he always stuck to his guns, that sweaty gray shirt.
Yeah.
He always stuck to his, he was always his true self. He spoke his truth, that boy did. And God love him. God love him. He still looks like a kind of, he still looks like somebody who's drawn Burt Reynolds from memory.
Yeah.
And I really like him for it.
He looks like, if you watch like an American film from the 90s, like, oh, he's someone's nice dad, but he'll break you in half.
Has anyone ever cast Dan Severin as like somebody's dad in a film? Where like he's a lovely guy, but like if the neighborhood bully turns up, he just freaking stretches up.
Just breaks his thumbs.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Dan, my people call your people. I've got a show I want to pitch for you. Scheme Gene says he's got some news on the Rumble. He'll give us a little bit later on.
I thought this looked more like Thompson and Thompson from Tintin than Mean Gene.
That's a great shout. It looked very dodgy. Yeah. It looked a bit sad.
Yeah.
But we'll dip back into him later on. I guess the point is that it needs to look sad.
It needs to look sad. Yeah.
Obviously, they're bringing in some heavy star power, even though Dan has said, no, I'll fucking kill everybody if I do. So they're raising the price of the Rumble.
Yes,
they
are.
They're bumping it up a fiver. It's going to be worth it. You'll get it.
I thought it was, they must have made the announcement of Jake Roberts on Superstars. But it was still very subdued. He was like, oh, Jake Roberts is here. He's like, what? One of the biggest stars of the 80s, Jake Roberts.
But they kind of mentioned this. They mentioned everybody so casually.
Yeah.
Like Dory Funk Jr. last week, they just threw his name in. I was like, put some spice on these announcements.
Yeah.
Like these are big. You did for Vader. We've got the Vader vignette again this week. That was great.
And he officially said, it's time.
Yeah. It's time. It's Vader time. Did the whole thing with the hands. That's a good impression of Vader if you're watching on the Patreon. It's just cool because that's swinging.
Some get us confused. They're like, you're right, Vader. I'm like, I'm Jack Atkins. I'm like, oh, sorry.
Talking of confused, if you were listening and not watching, you would think Ahmed Johnson was about to appear on this podcast.
Oh!
There he is. Ahmed in action now against Jeff Brettler.
What the fuck was he wearing?
I've put here, Jeff is wearing your weird auntie's curtains as trousers.
I've put here, Jeff Brettler, what the fuck are you wearing, you shite hawk? Big wide leg pajamas up to his tits. He looked...
Shite hawk!
It's the worst wrestling attire I've ever seen.
This adds to my theory that when jobbers come in to do WWF at this point, there's just like a lost property bin.
Yeah.
They have to go through to get their ring gear. Because some of the shit that people wear is unreal. I can't imagine they've gone out and chose it. It's just whatever's in the lost property bin.
He was dressed like Abdullah the Butcher on holiday. It's just wide, flowery, flowing pants all the way up like Simon Cowell. And I was just like, oh, mate.
They were like Haku's trousers.
They were in his
WWF run in 01.
But on an averagely built man.
Yeah, imagine Harry from Dagenham wearing Haku's trousers.
Yeah.
And you've got our boy, Jeff Brettler. Anyway, Jeff tries to jump Ahmed from the off with a clothesline that is zero effective. If anything, he takes damage from trying to clothesline Ahmed. He holds his arm, like when he does it, and when Ahmed doesn't move. I then put, Jesus Christ, does this guy owe Ahmed money?
Oh, God.
Far terrifying Sambo suplex.
He nearly fucking kills him.
He nearly kills. Like, and you could tell that Ahmed gets him gripped for it, like Uranagi style, kind of counts down before he throws him. But it's just something about midair where this guy just completely goes on his head, nearly gets pile driven off a Sambo suplex.
Oh, God, yeah.
Don't worry, you've got time to recover. Oh, wait, no, you haven't. Because Ahmed Johnson is going to Irish whip you across the ropes. You're going to bounce back off the ropes and he's going to hit you with a clothesline. Except here's the thing. He whips you across the... Fuck it, there's your clothesline, lad.
Yeah.
Ahmed is fucking dangerous.
He
just completely takes this lad's head off. We then get an axe kick to the small of the back and right across his cheekbone as well.
Did you notice?
Fuck me. He's just like flailing.
He was kicking with the wrong leg as well. So, imagine you're facing someone and your right shoulder is perpendicular with their left shoulder. For TV, you'd kick with your right leg to hit them on the left. Ahmed was kicking with his left leg and going across and it looked awkward and he was catching him weird and it looked sloppy and he kept doing it. He kept kicking with the wrong leg, basically.
I feel like someone's controlling Ahmed, but just mashing the buttons.
Yeah.
That's how his offense, like, there's no rhythm or flow to his offense. It's just like some power moves, some random kicks. He then hits a spine, but fuck me, Ahmed's spine, but right. And they look, when they're on, they look great. But like, he does this one, like gets the leg under, pulls it back away, goes down, but then like he trips as he's on the way down to the point where like he's lying on top of the poor bastard.
But he basically hit him with what could only be described as a shoot spine buster because he fell and just put all this fucking weight into the poor bastard.
Fuck, man.
I did like the way he shouted, come here, like Scorpion before, though. Come here!
Fuck off!
Like, you don't need to ask me to. You're going to drag me there anyway. Oh, man, it's not real, mate. Chill. And then we get the Pearl River Plunge. I think we've had a bit of discourse about the Pearl River Plunge from the Observer before, whereby it's a fine move to take as long as, you know, you work in cooperation and your back's flat as you land, it's fine. But I can't help but feel like... I don't know whether giving Ahmed the Pearl River Plunge is the right thing to do.
But it's even like Dave says, the Pearl River Plunge is fine, but that spinebuster's gonna fucking ruin some people.
So Ahmed wins by just obliteration here. Jeff Jarrett runs out, tries to attack Ahmed. He's got the guitar, but he misses. And then just as Ahmed's coming for him, Jarrett legs it.
He just legs it.
Leaves his guitar. And Ahmed just fucking batters the guitar on the turnbuckle. Apparently a gift by Garth Brooks.
Yes.
This guitar was.
I did like the fact when you first saw the guitar as well, Vince just goes, is that a Gibson? I was like, wow, Vince actually knows the name brands of guitar. It wasn't a Gibson, but the fact that he knew what a Gibson was.
I think he just guessed.
Yeah. I've heard of Gibson. It was like, that is a guitar, Vince. Yeah.
He's now a wrestler for NXT.
Fuck me, though. I've just got it. Ahmed is dangerous and green as fuck. But he's awesome.
He is still great.
The fans are on board. I thought the feud of Jarrett was building decently, but this is the worst. He looked so dangerous. He looked really dangerous.
They give him like I know it sounds daft, but like don't give him complicated moves.
No.
Like a Sambo suplex. Like really? No. No way. I barely trust him with a regular suplex.
Yeah.
Let alone one that involves like a unique one with a very bespoke history and heritage, which involves you sort of crossing over the hands and then bringing them down. Like that's no. Honestly, like Spinebuster, I'd say fine, but fuck.
In theory.
Christ, a lot of coccyx smashed during 96 because of Ahmed Johnson. A lariat, fine.
Yeah.
Those kicks get to fuck. Yeah. Can't control your legs. What would you give him instead of a Pearl River Plunge? Maybe just that fucking spine buster.
The Pearl River Plunge is cool, though.
Yeah.
And so far, they've looked the safest out of his arsenal. It's just knowing the fact that he is a bit wonky and that can go very wrong very quickly.
I wonder, maybe. Yeah, I think maybe if not that, then just the fucking spinebuster does it.
Yeah.
Just the spinebuster.
But I mean, going back to that suplex though, like Taz used to get a lot of shit for doing that and dropping people on his head on their heads. And that's Taz, who's a judoka and a suplex machine. So Ahmed Johnson trying it, fucking no.
Nope, absolutely. No. I don't know. I think I'd have probably died if I was an enhancement guy in 96. They go, you're facing Ahmed. Okay. Right, I'm going to do Sampo suplex. I said, no, don't. Too late, I'm doing it. I go, okay.
And then next week you'll face Yokozuna and he'd be like, you know the bonsai drop? I'm going to fucking properly do it on you.
Bonsai drop you into the concrete,
poor ham and eggers.
Oh, my God. Next week, The Undertaker with the power of the earth is going to face Isaac Yankum DDS.
First ever televised singles clash between the two.
It is indeed. They did a little bit in Smoky Mountain.
Yes.
But not televised.
And they had a little bit of the Survivor Series, but not a singles
not
match.
Not one. This is the first one-on-one on WWF soil between The Undertaker and Kane. Mm. That's got to be Kane.
That's got to be Kane.
That's got to be Isaac Yankum, DDS. That's got to be his dentist. He's back.
Oh.
It's a tune-up for the Rumble for The Undertaker. Marty Jannetty faces Owen Hart next week in a high-flying classic.
That should be good.
They'll have a belter, they will.
Yeah.
Here's an iconic segment. Here's a little bit of wrestling l'histoire.
Oh, God.
You ready for this?
Oof.
It's Brother Love.
Yeah.
Brother Love is out. Chats Ted DiBiase. A little bit of Brother Love news. You know Sister Love? We talked about Sister Love.
We did. It was originally going to be Francine or Beulah from ECW.
Ashley Allen was the name being touted for Sister Love as another one. That has now been binned because she was featured in a video as the valet of Hunter Hurst Helmsley. Mm-hmm. So at this point, they've gone, do you know what? Fuck the Sister Love stuff.
Yeah.
We don't like Brother Love as it is. Let's not add anymore.
And
don't add, subtract.
Ashley Allen... Did she, because obviously Hunter Hurst Helmsley gets a very famous short-lived valet at WrestleMania.
It does indeed.
Is that his first valet or does this Ashley Allen actually?
Ashley Allen is the first, I believe.
Does she appear? Yeah.
Yeah. And then I have a feeling that I think he has a couple that
he gets
kind of
Mr.
alternate.
Hughes for a bit, doesn't he?
Yeah, that's much later.
Oh, is it?
But I think he has a couple of valets. They name check one at WrestleMania 12 that becomes a very iconic moment.
Yeah.
But I think they rotate a little bit.
So we just had the ladies of Helmsley.
Yeah, like the valets, which I quite like, actually. Like different valets, different times. Very Downton Abbey. Brother Love is with Ted DiBiase. Ted DiBiase says he has searched to find someone who exemplifies what a million-dollar champion can be. He has found him. Without any further ado, I give you the Ringmaster. Glass shatters. Da 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 da. Hell no. Oh, wait. That's stunning Steve Austin from WCW. What are you doing here? this is it. Now, he's been backstage since In Your House back in December. He had a short run in ECW, which we've talked about. He was let go from WCW, which is what led to the ECW run. Vince likes him. Vince McMahon wants to bring him in as a good hand.
Yes.
He wants a good hand in the mid-card because he's very aware that whilst there are some superstars that can hold their own, he needs more good hands in the mid-card. So he has hired Steve Williams, Steve Austin, to become a good hand in the mid-card and nothing else.
I mean, some idiots might say, oh, this Steve Williams, he could possibly be the most important signing in wrestling history. But no!
He's a good hand in the mid-card!
Yeah.
And nothing else!
We'll give him a sniff at the IC title maybe one day.
No! He's a good hand in the mid-card!
I said a sniff, I didn't say
even
fucking
sniff it! You can sniff it! Block his nose up! He's a good hand in the mid-card!
What? You say he can't transfer it at a house show? Didn't say a fucking winner!
He can't make a whole housewife!
He looks so young here.
Oh, he looks adorable! I want to grab his little cheeks! Steve Austin, no moustache, no goatee, no facial hair. A little bit of hair on the top.
Yeah.
Very fine blonde hair.
Like
very, but blonde.
Or blonde.
So the point where you have to, where on an old VHS tape, you'd assume he was just bald.
Yeah.
But very fine blonde hair. Green trunks.
White boots.
White boots with a star on. Wowzers! Who's this?
He looks generic as bollocks.
Generic as fuck, mate. And the crowd couldn't be more apathetic. Despite the fact that there's one guy in the crowd that kind of points, and it's a kind of point that it reminds me of that Leonardo DiCaprio point that uses as a gif. Is it oh, I know you! There's maybe a little flicker of awareness.
Yeah.
I know you!
Your class!
Your class, you are! Where's Pillman, mate?
Where is he?
DiBiase officially crowns Ringmaster the million-dollar champion. He puts the belt around the Ringmaster's waist. I don't know why I keep calling him Steve Austin. His name's the Ringmaster.
He's the Ringmaster.
Dave Meltzer says there were some other names that were rumored. Something less silly than the Ringmaster, says Dave. But they debuted him as the Ringmaster nonetheless.
Chili McCruise.
We'll get to those in a bit, my man. Ringmaster asks us all, and this is, it's funny seeing Steve Austin do stuff like this, because he's not Steve Austin, he's the Ringmaster.
Yeah.
But so out of from what we know of him, and hearing his voice delivering something so different.
Yeah.
Because we hear his voice and we immediately think, piece of trash, you goddamn piece of, this big bag of shit, but motherfucker, Steve Austin, I'll have a beer, kick your ass, stomp a mud hole, walk it dry. And
you mealy mouth son of a bitch.
Mealy mouth son of a
you
bitch.
Listen here, son.
Yeah.
Ye biggest walking, talking son of a bitch.
But here we've got, reach out your hand and touch the screen and feel what it's like to be great.
I'm doing Baron von Raschke this.
And that is all the people need to know.
Yeah.
He asks us all to reach out his hand and touch his hand. Feel what it's like to be destined for greatness. Mate, you've got no fucking idea how true that statement is. Oh. No fucking idea.
Even straight away, like you, I wasn't expecting him to have the Steve Austin voice. I was expecting him to like affect an accent. But he was fucking electric on the stick straight away. And knowing what we know, we're just like, oh, I can't wait. And I checked to see how long the name The Ringmaster will stick until March.
There you go. Yeah. A few matches of the Ringmaster. He reveals that he's in the Rumble.
Oh.
He's going to prove why he's number one. He's going to win the Royal Rumble. And he's going to take the WWF title at WrestleMania. And to which Vince McMahon says, no, he's a good hand in the mid-card. And nothing more.
He's not even going to be in the King of the Ring in a handful of months.
No, because he's a good hand in the mid-card. He can lose to Marty Jannetty.
Fucking Marty Jannetty.
Put Bob Holly over, you prick.
Hakushi!
Get Hakushi out of here and lose to Hakushi in a decent, concise manner. You're good at it in the mid-card.
Tom.
I don't know why.
It's okay.
I don't know why I'm so angry.
It's okay.
I'm just tired.
But he's a good hand! He's a good hand in the mid-card, you fucking...
You get out there. You fucking lose to Isaac Yankum, you piece of fucking... You go out there and you fucking take Rad Radford's finish like a good fucking boy. You're a good hand in the mid-card.
You listen to me, you green tight sporting dick.
You little piece of sputum.
When
listen to me.
When Buddy Landell's healed up, he's going to batter you.
You get out there and you take one of Ahmed Johnson's shitty fucking suplexes, you little piece of shit.
And you will thank him for the privilege.
And if you get hurt, I hope it's not your hand, because you'll still have one other good hand in the mid-card. That's all you'll ever fucking be, the Ringmaster. Anyway, everyone has a prize for the $1 million man, says Ted DiBiase. And he gives us a big old laugh. Austin's in the house.
Fucking great.
Yay! The wrestling world is fine again.
And this is Austin when he could still wrestle before.
Yeah. I mean, he works around his limitations so beautifully. But, like, we're getting, like, the full fat Steve Williams wrestling
experience. Yeah. We're getting the wrestler, the ringmaster, not the brawler Steve Austin.
Ah, very excited.
Oh, fucking yes.
Come on.
Again, another case of last week we had Buddy Landell. This week we've got Steve Austin. straight away. Yeah.
Goldust versus Aldo Montoya. Dun, dun, dun. a lot of praise for Goldust on commentary. As you said, like, there's talk that this is all like an act that he's putting on. They're kind of giving themselves a little get out in case they feel like this character is going too far. They're probably in their mind having a little idea of a workaround which can pull them back if the character's too much. And this is probably what it is.
I mean,
This
is the tip of the iceberg for Goldust. Tip of the iceberg for Goldberg as well. But as we'll see, like, as the Attitude Era goes on, Goldust goes off the fucking deep end.
He really does. It's all Goldust, short and sweet. Double pedigree stomp. Some boots, a bit uninspiring. Montoya fires back body drop, then gets caught in what will be known as the curtain call for the three.
It's a lovely finisher.
It's a good finish, the curtain call. Yeah. It's safe, it's delivered well, and no one else is doing a move like it. So I like the curtain call for this.
Is Henry not doing the slop drop? That's similar-ish.
It's similar in setup, but different in execution.
Oh,
because he grabs them, pulls their arm, and gives a big... And then falls back with them. Whereas Goldust, like, hoists them up.
Yeah.
And almost kind of doesn't go full back suplex, but sort of brings them down as in like almost like a pancake forward suplex type move. So it's similar in setup, but different in execution.
Because what was he using as the finisher before this? Because he was using something that was underwhelming, wasn't he?
He was. Was it a neck breaker?
Maybe a neck breaker. Yeah, I think it was just a...
Didn't he finish the match with a kick to the head?
Yeah.
The one match that we watched. I think he meant to do like a running big boot.
Yeah.
But it was kind of a medium kick, a running medium kick, and that was it. We're still testing with the waters with finishes in wrestling at this point.
Yeah.
Some are very established, some not so much. Got just a showcase match for Goldust.
Yeah, I've just got nothing squash, but Goldust character's still really good. I forgot how good, how creepy, how effective Goldust was.
Mm-hmm.
He's magic. Like, as a kid, you were just like, oh, he's a bit weird. He kicks people in the dick. But looking back on it with, like, a wrestling head on it, and you're just like, fucking Goldust, great.
Yeah,
he's great.
Yeah, he really is. Footage from the Shawn Michaels press conference up next. Michael says that the doctors say he shouldn't wrestle again. Leaves a long pause and then goes, I'd like to apologize to my friends, my family, and the doctors, because I'm going to be in the Royal Rumble. and I'm going to win the Rumble, and I'm going to take the WWF Championship and be the guy to carry the WWF into the next millennium.
What, the ringmaster? He's going to be the ringmaster.
No, because he's a good hand.
He's a good hand.
The mid card.
He's a good hand.
Just a good hand in the mid card. Nothing more. Nothing less. Good hand. Mid card in the good hand. Michaels is back, basically. this has been a weird, like, weeks and weeks and weeks of Michaels is leaving forever. Michaels is done. Tell me a lie. Oh, look at this. We pushed him too hard as fans. Anyway, fuck the doctors and wrestling again.
I thought this was great.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've said many times, I like when wrestling takes a sports presentation.
Yeah.
I like press conferences. I like sit-down interviews. I like it feeling like it's real. Gives it credibility, and having Shawn Michaels here and like legitimate fans hooping and hollering as the press are there, as he's saying, I'm going to be in the Royal Rumble, I'm going to win the title. Fuck it, yeah.
And off, yeah. And you know what? There is some truth to what he says. He is going to carry the WWF going forward, as we will see.
Into the next millennium?
Yeah, you could say that it moved him to a bigger house, as did the money from Jim Shimon, from the fan, as it revealed on the Jim Shimon line. Cut to Scheme Gene. He reveals he knows who else is entering the Rumble.
Pray tell.
But you got to call the hotline to find out.
Oh.
JR says, come on, tell us. Tell us on Raw. And he goes, okay, it's Vader time. And it's funny because it means that he's slow on the news.
Oh.
Right, Bruce Pritchard has said in Something to Wrestle With, he fucking hated that he's... By this point,
yeah,
he was like the first week or two. It was like, yeah, it's quite funny, but they just carried on and carried on. And by the time we get to WrestleMania 12, where we see the crescendo of all of this, he's done. Like they hate this. Vince loves it, but they hate it. The one we've got to end on in a bit is just—it's a real piece of business. It's a real piece of business.
Yeah.
Other WWF superstars react to Shawn Michaels' news. Diesel wishing him luck, but says, "Don't cross me in the Rumble because I'll have you." Even though we're friends. Razor thinks it's too soon, but is adamant that he'll win the Rumble anyway. Well, I think you're too soon to come back and you won't do it, but I also think you'll do it. Owen says Shawn is a marked man in the Rumble, and he personally is going to make sure that he never wrestles again because they're pushing the fact that Owen Hart is the man that took Shawn Michaels out. I think it's a story that they didn't really touch enough on.
No.
From here.
They should have.
They really should have done. Like, I don't know whether we get a Shawn Owen match before Shawn Brett.
Yeah.
Obviously, I feel like we should.
The Hart Foundation will.
Yeah.
But
I feel like we could have touched on it such more. But anyway.
I did like the fact that you said Diesel again. This is just more Kevin Nash. He just said, he's like, hey, best of luck, Sean.
Very casual Diesel.
This is big sexy.
Mm-hmm. We get a replay of Bulldog versus Brett from In Your House.
Viewer discretion is advised.
Because it's all the blood in it.
Ooh, bloody.
There's a little bit with Earl Hebner. They talked to Earl Hebner beforehand where they say, he's reflecting on the match, saying, like, I kept asking whether, you know, Bret Hart wanted to stop the match because he was so baddie, and he kept saying no. And it's like, so they push this as if, the way they push this, Dave says this in The Observer, the way they push this is almost to suggest that they didn't know how gory this was going to go.
Yeah.
And they just went, let's just own it.
But it's, again, another step towards, and like what Dave's saying, the line between shoot and aware can help wrestling, and they've been going on for weeks saying, oh fucking hell, Brett pisses blood, oh god, you're gonna want to see this, oh shit, he's bleeding, oh he got battered, and then they're putting it on TV saying, oh, your discretion advised, because he bleeds, because this is real.
Sorry. Yeah, they do push that. Anyway, you've seen the match, we watched it along, we won't talk about it, but this is a good way for them to pad 20 minutes of television. Thanks, lads. Back to the actual footage, and we get words from The Undertaker. Well, some words.
Yeah, he said fuck all, didn't he?
Fuck all. Puts over Brett as a grand, glorious champion.
Yeah.
He's not a grand champion. He was never in Impact Wrestling.
Hey.
But he's going to take the title of the Rumble anyway. Jerry Lawler says that Isaac Yankem is going to punch Undertaker's teeth out next week. Bring it on. Kane and Undertaker one-on-one. And the in-ring debut of the Ringmaster next week as well.
Good hand.
He's a good hand in the mid. You stay in the fucking mid-card. You lose to Skip from the Body Donners, you prick. Don't get any ideas above your fucking station. Don't you dare grow that goatee.
You flat.
I will fucking kill you.
If you even think about wearing a leather waistcoat, I will take it off you.
I will cut your skin off.
Beat you to within an inch of your life. You fucking prick.
You are a good hand in the fucking mid card.
You
Stay there. Don't change the business for the better.
We've not established if this is Vince McMahon or Shawn Michaels saying this.
Could be either, to be honest with you. Maybe Shawn more than Vince.
We get Billionaire Ted's Bombshell as the main event of Monday Night.
So we had a Billionaire Ted segment. So these have been running for a couple of weeks now. This is an actor playing Billionaire Ted in his war room for WCW. And this week they're talking about the new slogan for their wrestling show. Vince Russo is there. Yay. And he suggests, why don't you call it Uncut, Uncensored, Uncooked? And they say, we've already stolen that slogan. They then suggest Unbelievable, as if to go, yes, because this wrestling isn't believable.
That was a good line.
That was a good line. I went, oh, God. The Nacho Man suggests, this is where the good old boys play. To which Ted says, this is no time to start telling the truth.
The old boy.
Yeah. They then agree on, this is where the big boys play. And then...
Fuck
me. Literally... As far as Vince McMahon's concerned, Subtle is not just a river in Egypt. the telly's gone off in absolute horror. There we go. The Nacho Man says, "What?" So I'm reacting to the phrase, where the big boys play, which is WCW's legit slogan. Yeah. Nacho Man says, what if all our stars have to take legitimate tests for steroids? To which Hulk the Huckster chimes in, don't worry about that, brother. We're not in the WWF anymore.
Fuck me.
We then get, that's as they're posing and hot-dogging to end it, we get the new generation logo, the new WWF generation logo. And then, right at the very end, for a WWF drug program advisory, sign on to America Online tonight. Get fucked, you. Though, actually, do you know what? Meltzer has an exceptional meltdown about this segment.
For those watching on the Patreon, that is 3 pages of notes. Of... Right, buckle in. I might have to skim bits of this. Dave Meltzer goes fucking in. On all parties, he goes in on everyone. Right.
You thought Dave had a pop at Braun Strowman in the Observer the other day.
Oh, that was beautiful.
It's quite poetic.
Right. So in addition to the Billionaire Ted skit, Vince McMahon claimed he had already written a letter to Ted Turner, then issued a grandstand challenge to Turner immediately after the show in an online message to implement a stronger steroid policy. The message appeared to be carefully disguised as looking like a challenge, but may have been a legal defense against possible civil action regarding the piece, which less than subtly implied Hogan and Savage were doing steroids. Immediately after the show, McMahon released a statement saying, the World Wrestling Federation is concerned about the health and well-being of its talent. Although on tonight's Raw program, we used satire to demonstrate a point about the WWF steroid policy as opposed to Ted Turner's WCW, we realise that the use of steroids and other drugs of abuse is a serious issue and can pose health risks.
Pious piece of shit.
Therefore, in a personal letter to Ted last week, I challenged him in the interest of the health and well-being of all the athletes under his umbrella, as well as mine, to implement a policy which would adhere to the same strict standards which the WWF adopted several years ago. I also indicated that perhaps the only way this could occur is if we jointly select an independent drug policy advisor, collection agency, and testing facility. The WWF has taken the lead in developing a program with teeth in it. Hopefully Ted Turner will see the value in protecting his athletes as well. Yeah. However, the message someone who claims to be interested in protecting his athletes, an interest that came to the fore only when outside media and legal pressure forced him to adopt the stance after building a company around steroid abusers for nearly a decade, is hollow at best. Just a few weeks ago, Vince McMahon was involved in negotiations to bring the Ultimate Warrior Jim Hellwig back into the WWE.
Ah, it's true!
He's just going off saying, Vince McMahon, you only started doing this when you were faced with, you know, 30 years in prison. And, he puts a telling line saying, thankfully, over the last year or two, you hear more talk about being good is more important than getting big. Which, we will enter more of the era of the wrestler, but it is still the bigger you are, the more of a star you're going to be. We're not implying that anyone's on the gas, but it's just Vince McMahon's predilection. He likes the big boys.
He likes the big boys.
But, it's fucking Meltzer goes for it. He's saying, you know, satire is legal protection. There was rumblings about there could be a slander or libel lawsuit within WCW. They're saying, let's fucking go for him. And he's going on about Scheme Gene and all that and saying, you know, oh, blah, 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 Gene's slow and shit. And then Jim Ross has taken the piss. And he's put, it isn't as if WCW hasn't left itself wide open for criticism on both topics, on the steroids and Mean Gene. There was irony in Jim Ross being the one, the Oakland segment, because he did similar pitches regularly while in WCW. Ross's segments were rarely, if ever, totally fabricated, as Mean Gene stuff often is. Ross's teasers never came close to the level of sleaze Oakland's did, but he was often at least on the border of questionable taste in his own commander times. He continues, like, later on after going off about steroids and saying, you know, he's talked to younger up-and-comers, and like, Meltzer talks to younger wrestlers because it's how he gets sources and stuff. And some of them are concerned, saying, fuck me, I don't want to get on the gas, but I know that I'll have a better chance kind of thing. And he's saying, everyone's sending out the wrong messages here. But he does say, McMahon has a right to cry foul over an unfair playing field. He's been forced largely by outside forces like the Justice Department to run a relatively clean ship, whereas Turner hasn't faced any similar pressure and the two are in competition with one another. No doubt WWF is the cleaner of the two organizations at this point. And Meltzer is all for anything that will bring focus to Turner and bring certain neon signs in WCW back to reality. But in attempting to hire the Ultimate Warrior, McMahon comes off as a hypocrite of the First Order. And don't believe for a second, if any of the big-name WCW stars were to want a job with WWF right now and in the war period we're in, or even if we win, McMahon would make an embarrassing steal on the WCW's noses if he could. WCW's response to the first Billionaire Ted segment, which was repeated all weekend on every show and heavily hyped for a next segment on Raw, was largely nothing. WCW adopted a hollow tagline that they are nicer and care more for the fans because they are putting on the best matches on free television in the form of a Clash of the Champions this month as a thank you present, while the WWF is raising the price of their pay-per-view show. Bischoff called the Royal Rumble the Royal Fumble. Referred to WWF as Titanic Sports and pointed out they are now charging fans to get their pictures taken with WWF champion because they started charging fans a tenner at live shows.
Fine, that's pretty standard meet and greet business.
Mean Gene brought in the comment that some of the new generation stars being brought in for the Royal Rumble are so old they're getting close to Social Security. Hello, Dory Funk Jr.
I was going to say, he's not that far off the mark there.
No. Bischoff also mentioned on more than one occasion that Nitro is the most watched wrestling television show in the world, which is far from the truth. And in fact, after this past week, WWF holds a microscopic lead in the Monday Night Ratings Raw. And yeah, he's basically saying, WCW come across as whiny and they need to fucking pack it in and focus on the positives. And he says the WWF segments, while hypocritical, they make a good point and they're funny as hell. So he's basically saying the segments can't continue for long. WWF, just kind of fuck off. But WCW, get your shit together. And this is also funny, but you're all twats. And yeah.
You're all as bad as each other in different ways.
Yeah. And I thought the Billionaire Ted segment was really funny this week. I was chuckling along.
We said this upstairs. We said it's like you would see somebody writing that like, in a parodying way,
yeah,
but not in a way of like I'm parodying WCW. I'm parodying somebody parodying WCW.
Yeah,
like that is like if Vince McMahon was Alan Partridge, and he delivered the line "You feed burgers to swans" as if it was a win.
You feed beef burgers to swans.
Yeah, but imagine Vince delivering that as if it was a win. That's kind of what this is, where Vince has gone like we've all gone, this is pathetic. But Vince has gone, got him.
Yeah.
Like for Vince, this is like, mic drop. No, this is fucking hilarious, but not for the reasons you think. Because like for somebody who is like, who was indicted, not massively a long time ago for steroid abuse. Like, okay, like there was clearance, but there was enough smoke there to cause a fire.
Yeah.
For someone that was indicted, like Jesus Christ. No, but I guess a lot of your stars were that musty that you could throw rocks at people in glass houses from quite a far distance. But maybe this isn't the time to do it when that is like still very much in the air.
And I mean, look, we're not saying any of the following would definitely use as
no,
but they've got Davey Boy Smith and Sid Vicious on the roster. They've
Lex Luger's only just left. Like,
Warrior's coming back.
Warrior's coming back. Fuck. Like,
it's more of these skits to come. You'll be glad to know.
But I did. I was giggling at the Huckster. I was giggling at him doing the Hogan poses wrong and calling everyone brother. And I caught myself giggling. I thought, what the fuck are you doing? These are shite. But yeah.
It wears you down after a while.
It does.
It does.
And we were kind of mentioning upstairs, sorry to break kayfabe, we do. We save most of it for this, but we do have the occasional little natter to see where our notes are and stuff, make sure we've not missed anything. But we were saying that, again, this is another step towards the zeitgeist. This is WWF coming out on TV and being like, fuck it, we're being sleazy. We're saying these are shit bags. Who cares? It's 1996. So, again, another step towards just total anarchy on the Monday Night Wars.
Absolute anarchy. It's bloody, bloody lovely. What did you make of Raw this week?
I liked it.
Yeah.
Even though 20 minutes of it was, you know, Davey Man versus Hartman, it's a good match, isn't it? The matches that we did see, they were solid enough. You know, a decent Jarrett opener, Ahmed being fucking dangerous. Another match to put over Goldust. The HBK in Ultimate was great. We've got the Ringmaster. He's going to be a good solid hand for the mid-card. He's debuted. More Rumble news. They packed a lot into 45 minutes.
Yeah.
And if you take out Brett and Bulldog, they packed a lot into 25 minutes, really.
Yeah, they did, actually. There was a lot of character stuff in there, lots of stuff to build towards the Rumble, which is only a couple of weeks away now.
What did you think?
I enjoyed it. I think it's a historic episode of Raw. I thought the big thing for me was Ahmed throwing Jeff Brettler around like he'd slept with his wife. And and a very subdued debut for the Ringmaster.
Yeah, you've got... Oh, there's the Ringmaster. Jake Snake's back.
Oh, by the way, yeah. So much is so understated. Some of the big things are so understated. Like two people who will be synonymous for an iconic moment in wrestling this year. So understated on this show.
So I wasn't watching at this point. Obviously, I'll come back late 97, 98-ish. Mm. I didn't realize how rapid the Ringmaster's rise was. Going from kind of coming in January and saying, hello, I'm the Ringmaster. By March, he's Steve Austin. And then by the summer, King of the Ring. I didn't realize it was...
Yeah, they strike. And we're going to watch all the strikes go down.
We've still got people to go. We've got Vader to come. God, we've got a certain one-eared fucking hair-ripping lunatic from the basements to come.
That's not very nice to say about Aidan Gibbons. I know we said he's going to come on an episode.
we've still got... White meat babyface die Rocky die to come later, haven't we? Later 96?
Late 96. Very late 96. Like the embers of 96.
We've got Ultimate Warrior to come back for a bit.
And Helmsley's job of the century to Ultimate Warrior.
Yeah.
Something that we'll pay for in 2003. But all of that is to come on the Coldaholic, a classic Raw review. In case you missed it, lovely chat I had with Drew McIntyre is on the YouTube channel right now. Yeah. I just mean Drew just... Just catch up once every couple of months.
Thick as thieves, aren't you?
We are the Bezzies, me and I and Drew. So we have a lovely little chat to me and Drew.
Yeah.
So that's on the channel right now. Your apologies for the inconsistency of some of the classic reviews. The schedule's been all over the shop with getting them back. But I'm hoping for this week, all being well this week, you'll have a full pantheon of classic reviews. The Raw review today, the Nitro review on Wednesday, the SmackDown review on Saturday. So the Nitro review on Thursday, the SmackDown review on Saturday. We should be back up and running.
I mean, it's not like we've just come out of the busiest period of the year for wrestling, to be fair.
There is a little bit of that.
Yeah.
We'll be back to it. What are you working on?
A big list.
Oh.
A big list.
I know the list. You can't say, can you?
No, it's top secret.
It's a good top secret list, though.
There's, at first count, 179 entries. It could be more. There will be more.
There's going to be more.
There's going to be more. It's a bastard. And yourself, apart from, you know, working your bed in the candle, just three ends somehow.
Going to keep on burning all three ends of the candle. I'm now going to go from here to go and prep for something else. And then I've got to go and, you know, Nietzsche comes out to go pay off the travel insurance for our holiday.
Yeah.
So I'm going to go in a minute. That's exciting, isn't
That's something I haven't even contemplated. I've got to get travel. Especially if I'm going to fucking America.
Get that on it. Consider yourself insured. And until we are next together, he is at Brad Atkins on Twitter. I am at Tom Campbell on Twitter. We're angled on a good winner. Don't forget to join us. He's a good end in the mid-card.
Not for more, nothing fucking less.
Fucking less. Love you, bye, you piece of fucking shit.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
For all the wrestling headlines in just 10 minutes, search Cultaholic Wrestling News on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts from.